Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on ABC's Good Morning America condemning the prosecutor at the International Criminal Court who is seeking an arrest warrant for Netanyahu and Israel's defense minister for crimes against humanity.
It's not serious. He's out to defame Israel, and he's also pouring gasoline on the fires of anti-Semitism that are spreading around the world.
The ICC is also seeking warrants for three Hamas leaders. Former President Donald Trump is not expected to testify today at his criminal trial. His defense expected to rest today after more testimony from defense witness Robert Costello. President Biden will visit New Hampshire today and announce a major milestone of the implementation of the PACT Act, with 1 million claims generated for veterans who were exposed to burn pits and other toxic conditions in Iraq and Afghanistan. One person was killed, several hurt when a Singapore Airlines flight from London encountered turbulence. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Amtrak's new Borealis route from the Twin Cities to Chicago starts rolling today with 8 stops in Wisconsin. It's the second daily round-trip passenger train on the route, doubling passenger train service across the state. One-way tickets start at $41 with discounts for many groups. Immigration is a political issue as far north as Wisconsin. Whitewater has become a focal point. City Council President Patrick Singer says immigrants are welcome, but there are challenges.
Wisconsin municipalities are not flush with cash. So our community, and as are many others, dealing with a lot of demand for services without the proper financial resources to be able to provide that.
Singer speaking with Wisconsin Eye. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 The Eagle WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Today and tomorrow are the first community engagement sessions for the La Crosse School District. Officials will talk about the $53.5 million referendum that will be on the November ballot. Today's session from noon until 1 is virtual, while tomorrow's will be from 6 until 7 p.m. at Central High School. District officials will hold 4 of the sessions to gather feedback. The district is proposing to consolidate 4 elementary schools into 2 locations. It's not too late to send in your thoughts on La Crosse's master plan regarding bicycle and pedestrian paths in the city. Forward La Crosse held its final open house yesterday on the plan, but public input can still be sent in before the plan is presented to the City Council. The plan is focusing on safety, such as better signage, and clearing bike and walking paths in the winter, in its update this year. If you'd like to have some input, you can visit forwardlacrosse.org to send in your thoughts. For 1490 The Eagle WLCX and for lacrosseeagle.com, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Brewers lose an extra inning. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers lost to the Marlins 3-2 after 10 innings. Joe Ross only threw 15 pitches. Before leaving with a sore back, he's headed to IL. Manager Pat Murphy.
When you try to win a game and you lose a one-run ball game, you're going to tax your pen sometimes. So when your starter goes one, that's, you know, and we were in position to win. You know, this was like kind of a takeaway. You know what I mean? And credit to the Marlins, and they kept fighting, and credit to them.
The crew is now 1-3 for the road trip. The Marlins have won 5 of their last 6. NFL, Vikings receiver Justin Jefferson skipping OTAs until he gets a new contract. Packers' Matt LaFleur asked if he needs a fourth quarterback behind Love, Sean Clifford, and rookie Michael Pratt in camp.
We'll see. It's pretty fluid, like it is every year. You know, different circumstances come up and then you adjust, but it is challenging to rep a bunch of quarterbacks. Just to divvy those out, it can be challenging.
That's Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Showers and thunderstorms are likely today, and some could be severe later this afternoon into this evening. Hail, damaging straight-line wind gusts, even tornadoes will be possible, along with the potential for some heavy rainfall amounts of 1 to 2 or more inches. It'll be a little breezy. We'll get to around 80 for a high. Be weather aware today. These storms will develop quickly. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
The Todd Alba Show.
The fantastic Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air. I'm a big fan of like the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. Well, now from Snoop Dogg, they're going to have the Snoop Bowl, the Snoop Bowl. How about that, Jane?
I think we're missing the obvious. Where's the Punch Bowl? Where's the Toilet Bowl? I think that there are other bowls that are being neglected.
I think it could maybe be the Snooper Bowl, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest. Mr. James Causey, one of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'll be joined by the executive director of Wisconsin Policy Forum, Rob Henkin. We'll be talking about how communities pay for our most treasured cultural assets.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
There's too many of you crying.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning, G. Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. How are you?
All right, man. You got your ark built for this evening?
No, not quite. I'll just hope that my house holds up.
Actually, you better pin it down. I was in the drive out here. They said heavy rains and winds up to 75 miles an hour.
Yeah, it is going to be pretty tough sledding for today and this evening, especially where they expect the you know, in Milwaukee and in that area, the evening is going to be deluge, but in kind of northern Wisconsin, this morning they're going to be getting some really, really tough winds and rain and possibly hail and all of those different things. So by now, you know that voice. That's Sandy Williams, my co-host. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I'm battening down the hatches.
Let me ask you. Let me ask you. You see that weather in Texas and weather across the nation. You know, it's early for hurricanes and tornadoes, right? I mean, normally that stuff.
Well, apparently. And the other thing that's happening, I guess, is that storms are becoming surprise storms where they spring up unexpectedly. Even with our technologically advanced meteorology, we have surprise storms, which I think is another aspect of this whole global climate change thing.
You know, when you look, Sandy, at the destruction that's happening in these things, and we had this argument and debate about how much money we should put in FEMA. Remember, it wasn't so long ago. There are people who wanted to cut the FEMA budget.
Yeah, people want to cut the FEMA budget until it happens to them, right?
Until
the disaster is local. But, you know, one other thing. This is kind of weather related. I saw a video of Western Springs, Illinois, and cicadas. And, you know, we are going to escape this, but it was pretty creepy. It was like 2 inches deep.
Oh, really?
Cicadas around the tree that, you know, these things crawl up out of living in the roots of trees. And, wow, you know, if you're in cicada country, I think it's going to be biblical.
You know, Sandy, I was watching, and for whatever reason, because I had some friends who moved down to Houston, and you know, they talked about the great weather, but the risk that you take. I mean,
you see, people talk about the great weather in Houston until they're there in July.
Yeah, Well, it's over 90-some degrees now in Houston in May.
Right. I was in Houston on a business trip, and I would call it walk slow, hot. You know, when it's hot and humid like it is there, it is kind of unbearable.
Yeah, and the fact that, you know, they need the air conditioning like right now.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Whatever it is that's going on.
Not only that, they're having a Mormon locust infestation.
Really?
It's like I said, the biblical plagues, you know, cicadas, locusts, floods. It all happens. It keeps happening.
You know, well, people say it's God's country, but
we'll see what I mean. The plagues.
Yeah, I just feel for how people have to deal with those things. You know, you've got the tornadoes in northern Wisconsin and those kind of places, Missouri, Tornado Alley and all those kind of places. But, you know, man, I deal with the little cold that we get from time to time. And, that's something else to me. But anyway, we're down to the Final Four in the NBA.
Yeah, and I think if people had pools at the beginning of the year, I think there aren't many people who would have predicted the right Final Four.
Well, I'll tell you, Minnesota and Indiana wouldn't have been in there.
Right.
Dallas and the Celtics would.
Yeah, those two were, and the other two weren't in most people's lists.
But in watching the evolution of those younger teams, you know, each year, they reached a different plateau. Younger talent each year, adding additional younger talent, and those young people getting another year under their belt and maturing. That's how you build an NBA team. You know, it's not going out and getting the best guy like we did with Dame Dollar and giving him $50 million and bringing one guy in. That doesn't work.
Well, you know, it depends. I mean, we were there 8-10 years ago. We had Giannis was 20
and Middleton was young.
Middleton was young. We had a young, very young roster. Now we've got the oldest roster. It's just that, you know, we rode with our stars, signed them up for the long term, and you know, now we're at the tail end of that cycle instead of the front end of it. So that's the difference.
But I'll tell you,
we didn't win the championship, but the once, right? And so I think we're in for a next phase, you know.
But I'll tell you, I'm excited about these playoffs. I'm excited. They're going to be very exciting, both the East and the Western playoffs. I'll be there, you know, and not missing one second of it. The talent level is just unbelievable.
Well, the NBA playoffs are different than the NBA season in so many ways, and the intensity of them, the physicality, it's a whole different game. And yeah, it's obviously, like we said, I think earlier, they couldn't play that way for a whole season because you can see the rate at which they're getting injured during the playoffs. I mean, you know, the Knicks were cooked
Jalen Brunson.
Jalen Brunson broke his hand. You know, that's a violent game.
Well, the Knicks were down.
Thank you, Calvin.
That's good. Well, the Knicks were down. The Knicks were down four players.
Yeah.
Four of their starting players. You know, Indiana was fortunate. They caught the Bucks during the time that the Bucks were injured.
Yeah.
I think a healthy Bucks team could have beat Indiana.
I think they would have, yeah.
Yep, and so they caught New York at a time. A healthy New York Knicks team, I think, could have beaten Indiana. So the stars were aligned for them. I'm not saying they're not a talented team. They are a talented, talented young team.
Celtics are pretty healthy, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, except for they're missing their center.
Oh, Porzingis, is he still out?
Yeah, he's still out. Yeah. And so that he matters.
Yeah,
you know, sure. he's a game changer. He's a series changer. But anyway, you know, Enough of that. Sandy, we got some things we want to talk about this morning, as always. There's some stuff going on. Let me do this first. The president of Iran.
Yeah, and the foreign secretary.
And the foreign secretary. Sandy, the helicopter they were in was 45 years old. And so the question was, why would they put them, why are they flying around in a helicopter that's 45 years old? You know what the response was? Sanctions from the United States government has not allowed them to get the technology that they need to, because we've had sanctions on them for.
Well, but they successfully are the source of sophisticated drones that they're selling to Russia, and they, you know, they have a pretty sophisticated industry. I mean, I suspect there are plenty of helicopters in use in the U.S. that are that old, because things like that, you know, they rebuild the engines, they replace the engines, they replace the rotors, and so probably very few elements of that helicopter were actually 45 years old.
You know? Well, I'm just, you know, this is what was in a news report that I was watching, and and what I would say to you is, our president's not going to be flying around in a 45-year-old helicopter unless they have made sure that everything, right, the maintenance and all of those things. So they're saying that's part of the reason.
I'll be interested in exactly what the cause of the accident is. You know, there could have been foul play. I saw a listing of the numbers of heads of state who have died in plane and helicopter accidents and what countries they were from over the last 40 years. And it's a significant number. So, and most of them died in a circumstance that was suspicious.
Okay? Yes.
So, who knows what caused the accident.
It is amazing to me that in that kind of wreckage that they can find out what was the cause of the accident, right? I mean, it actually landed in a bunch of trees.
Yeah. Yeah, who knows? I have nothing to add in terms of any
facts to add to the process.
But I mean, I think that a suspicious number of heads of state or near heads of state go down in planes and helicopters and in places, and usually in the list I saw, it was a list of sort of second level countries, places that were experiencing political turmoil. And there is undoubtedly, you know, we think of Iran as this monolithic country filled with radical Islamists, but that isn't what Iran is. It's a very secular country that's been taken over by Islamists. And I think there's undoubtedly a great deal of hidden discord.
So right away, the guy who's in charge, Joint Chiefs?
Of our Joint Chiefs?
I forget his name.
Well, I've lost track.
But anyway, what he said was, right away, we didn't have anything to do with it. The United States didn't have anything to do with it.
Right.
I thought that was telling. 844-967-2789.
That's what I used to say when the lamp broke in the living room.
Is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with Sandy Williams. We'll get down to business on the other side. 844-967-2789 is the number.
Listening to the Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Matt Nair on Air.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Water World, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
What does cheese, beer, and you have to do with local radio?
I know. It's Todd Alba and the Trick V. Olsen's What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour.
To get out of your own little silo and just listen to folks, you find out Wisconsin is pretty darn great already.
It's great to be from Wisconsin, Todd. It's just such a fantastic place.
Miss them in your town, more visits, and your chance to connect coming up.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. This is the Talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490 AM.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, you have the music for this morning. It sounds like Aretha Franklin and Amazing Grace.
Yeah, there's Aretha. Yeah, so Amazing Grace. So mother and sister named Grace, so I've always enjoyed that song. But I think we're in a time period here in America where that's what we got to be looking for is grace. And this song is, everybody in the world has done it. And so I decided I'm not going to do this very often, but we've got different versions of grace that we're going to get today.
Well, there's no question that a nation needs grace, to say the least. That was a topic you wanted to discuss as well this morning. So what's that topic?
Well, I just suddenly had sort of an epiphany that politics is a great deal about symbolism. I think Donald Trump would talk about brand. I think it's more symbolism, and I think that candidates tend to become symbolic of something. And I think in particularly Donald Trump's case, that he represents a symbol to a lot of people, a symbol of some things that are different than his embodiment, okay? So that what Donald Trump is, who he is, how he behaves, is much less important to the people who adopt and believe in what he represents, the symbol that he represents. And so I think that there are a great number of people who are enthusiastic about Donald Trump, are not enthusiastic about him, the person. In fact, might be repelled by him, the person, but embrace the symbol that he represents. And so I think what's interesting is to explore what is the symbol, what is the brand or the symbol that people embrace about the candidates, because I think that it's a very important element of who we elect. And my sense of the symbol of Donald Trump is probably different than others. Personally, I'm repelled by the symbols, okay, the symbol that he represents. But there, I think, are a great number of people who are attracted to it. Moths are attracted to flames. I think that there are a great number of people who are attracted to what they think he represents, and there are people who are attracted to what Biden represents. But I don't think Biden's symbol or brand is anywhere near as distinct as maybe Donald Trump's.
So the thing about it, and our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. This is a participatory discussion this morning. So love to hear your sides of this, yay or nay, pro or con, on this discussion that will, you know, kind of go down a lot of different paths. But I have to tell you, people know who Donald Trump is. He was the president for 4 years. So people know what he represents. Again, he was the president for 4 years. It would be different, Sandy, to me, if Trump had never been the president. And you could say, well, I wonder what Donald Trump would do. I wonder how he'd be. We already know he's...
Well, I think the Donald Trump presidency proved one thing, that Donald Trump is unpredictable, that I think we all would wake up every morning during his presidency wondering what he would do next. If you have someone who you understand who they are and what they're going to do, you have a pretty good idea of what they're going to do next. So I think that part of Donald Trump is the fact that he seems to be onto himself and is unpredictable. And I think that a great deal of his presidency was actually a presidency in which he fought the rest of government. He turned his back on advice. He turned his back on all that was sort of the norms of government. And so it became a period that everyone, I think, would agree was quite abnormal in terms of how it felt and what was going on.
So you think that's the allure that people have, the unpredictability of a man who, as you stated, you know, in crisis mode, when there was an issue that was really required leadership with him, we saw how he handled that.
Well, you know, this is me, okay?
And I know.
This is me trying to understand his symbol. But I think that what he has come to symbolize to people, what he's emblematic of, is if you are angry with anything about your situation, then you should like me, Donald Trump, because I promise to fix it. I'm not going to tell you what the situation is that's making you angry. I'm simply going to talk about how angry you ought to be, how America is falling apart. I'm not going to describe to you how America is falling apart. I'm just going to tell you that America is falling apart, and you who are angry will be able to fill in the blank as to how it's falling apart because you have an idea of how it's falling apart. So it's a bit like the promise to make America great again. I'm not going to describe to you what era I'm going to take it back to. I'm not going to describe to you how I'm going to make it great again. I'm simply going to appeal to your aspiration to go backwards in time and make things as they used to be at a time when you liked them. I'm not going to tell you when that was. So the brand is open-ended, and it's designed to appeal to those who are unhappy in their circumstance, and it's designed to appeal to people who want to go backwards in time to a time when they felt better and happier about their circumstance.
So I'm going to bring inflation back into order. I'm going to change the overwhelming cost of food and how people are having a tough time.
He hasn't even talked about that.
I know, but he's not going to talk about it, but people somehow believe that he's going to fix that when he gets in office.
Right. So if you're unhappy about foreign affairs, these things wouldn't have happened if I was in office. If you're unhappy about food prices and gasoline prices, these things wouldn't have happened if I'd been in office. Those are unprovable concepts, but they're designed to be consistent with the brand, which is, if you don't like it, I will fix it. If you don't like it, I'll take, and you did like some prior period, we'll go back to whatever that is. And you know, you can listen at rallies. I listened to a great deal of his rally in Minnesota, and there is nothing in the rally in which does he talk about policies that he's going to adopt. It's attack dog. It's to attack the current circumstance and to denigrate it and to appeal to people's concerns about it without telling you how he's going to fix it.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays. Tuesday's not Sunday. This is not Sunday morning church, but Tuesday with Sandy Williams and you.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The newest prosecutor in the Wisconsin Attorney General's office is funded by a foundation fighting climate change. The Journal Sentinel reports Karen Heineman's $90,000 salary is covered by the State Energy and Environmental Impact Center at New York University Law School. It was set up to fight efforts to roll back environmental protections under the law. Bird flu has infected dairy herds in other parts of the country, but so far not Wisconsin. Experts are worried now that one person in Texas was infected. Andrew Pecos is with Johns Hopkins University.
Given that dairy farms have a large number of people who can come in contact with infected cows, there is an increased chance of the H5N1 virus also directly infecting humans.
Experts recommend sticking with pasteurized dairy products. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 The Eagle WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The Cooley region will see potentially strong and severe storms this evening. The National Weather Service is forecasting widespread severe storms, especially south of I-90. Strong wind gusts, hail, and tornadoes are the main threat. There will be storms throughout the day, but the greatest risk of severe weather will be from 3 until 9 p.m. There will also be heavy rain in most places. Stick with us for more information throughout the day and be weather aware. There's a new person in charge at the La Crosse Regional Airport. Jeffrey Tripp was named director of the airport yesterday. Tripp will replace Ian Turner, who resigned in January to take a similar position in his home state of Iowa. He also replaces interim director Lauren Koss. Tripp held the director role at an airport in Arizona. The La Crosse Regional Airport was named one of the nation's most reliable last year by a private jet charter service. It will host the Blue Angels as part of the Deke Slayton Airfest later this year. For 1490 The Eagle and lacrosseeagle.com, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Matthew Perry has been dead for 7 months, but not to Courtney Cox. The former Friends actress says she still feels Perry's presence quite often. Cox told CBS Sunday Morning she thought Perry was one of the funniest human beings in the world. Cox added that Perry visits her quite often and she can sense when he is around and that she talks to him. Perry died last year at the age of 54 due to the acute effects of ketamine. In news that's not really a surprise, Johnny Knoxville is being sued by a former segment producer. Daniel Curry is suing the Jackass star for negligence and battery. Entertainment Weekly reports that Curry was chased down and tased by Knoxville without provocation, resulting in serious injuries. Curry claims that since the incident, he's been blacklisted by the ABC Signature Network. I've seen some of the Jackass movies, usually against my will, and there is no way this is Knoxville's first lawsuit. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Showers and thunderstorms are likely today and some could be severe later this afternoon into this evening. Hail, damaging straight-line wind gusts, even tornadoes will be possible, along with the potential for some heavy rainfall amounts of 1 to 2 or more inches. It'll be a little breezy. We'll get to around 80 for a high. Be weather aware today. These storms will develop quickly. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 64.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the Raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Dr. Karen Tamarius, she's a political psychiatrist, and we're talking about how to talk to people with which we do not agree.
Think of the mind as a rider on an elephant. The conscious part is the rider, and the emotional part is the elephant. If you want the person to change their mind, you need to talk with the elephant, not the rider.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, 10:33, the award-winning Civic Media's own Terry Barr. 11 o'clock hour, we learn all about the Honor Flight and how you can get involved. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
nothing better than pipe organ.
Well, you know the young man I'm raising, Jamari Harris, if he knew that this was on right now,
he'd be listening.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, we are going to, every Tuesday, we go to Celtic practice.
I know. I remember how that started.
Yeah, right, right. All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. I'm looking at Johnny Watermelon. He says, don't cut that Celtic music off.
We're looking for Amazing Grace yeah. this morning for all of us listeners and the country at large.
So we're talking, Sandy, about, you know, subject that you wanted to talk about. Our phone line's open at 844-967-2789. Refresh the memories of those listening.
Well, I'm trying to figure out what it is that, because I think that a great deal of politics has turned into symbolism. What does a candidate symbolize to people? Because they're in pursuit of some process in their mind that relates to what is symbolic, what the brand is. Donald Trump would talk about the brand. What is my brand? But I think that people react to symbol. We react to it in music. We react to it in art. And I think in politics as well. And so I'm interested in what it is that Donald Trump symbolizes to people that causes them to be highly attracted to what he symbolizes, whether or not they are highly attracted to him as a person, and what the elements of it are. Well, you know, what, because there isn't much policy that we talk about it. The people who are very highly supportive of Trump tend to be talking mainly about the things they don't like about the alternative to Joe Biden. They talk about how the country can't stand another 4 years of Joe Biden. I don't understand the elements of the problem associated with that. And I think that many times when we are supporting a symbol, we have trouble putting into words what it is that actually we're attracted to that symbol about.
Well, especially when the symbol is Donald Trump. Let's go to Doc from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Doc. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. I got a question for Sandy. Everybody knows that most people vote their pocketbook. And I have spoken with two friends of mine, one who is on the far right and another who has always voted Democratic. And I spoke with him yesterday, and he said he was a little conflicted about the upcoming election because he said when Trump was in office, his 401k was doing amazing. And the other gentleman said the same thing. And I just kind of wonder, they're willing to overlook all the nasty baggage that Trump brings with him because they think that under Trump, their pocketbooks are fatter.
That's surprising to me because I think the stock market has gone up. It is now at 40,000, which is twice what it was just a limited number of years ago. Its rate of increase hasn't been quite as great as it was at the time of the sugar high caused by the tax reduction during Trump. But it's gone up from the time that Biden took office till now. It's gone up just as much as it did under the Trump years. So I'm surprised that people are worried about their 401ks because we've had a very long bull market, and the bull market has continued under Biden.
Okay, so then they're only telling me half of the story, is what you're saying.
I think so. I mean, I think maybe that's why I say that I think people who are attracted to symbols have trouble verbalizing and tend to find reasons to support, to describe why they're supporting someone without being able to necessarily verbalize it. Because I do hear a lot of people who are negative about the current administration talking about how it's been, you know, terrible, you know, and yet I have trouble finding people able to list the ways in which it's been terrible, apart from a period of inflation that we experienced.
You know, Sandy, so here's what I'll never understand. And so Joe Biden is blamed for the high inflation. Joe Biden is blamed for the high food prices. Joe Biden is blamed for the, you can't say the lack of employment. He's blamed for the housing shortages. He's blamed for the price of houses, housing. He's blamed for things that I'd have to ask those people on the other side, do you really think that if Donald Trump was the president of the United States right now, all of those things that I just mentioned would be different because Donald Trump himself is the president of the United States? What would they base that on, Sandy?
Well, I think it's the unprovable, right? It's the assertion. So again, I think it's, if someone is symbolizing to you something that is striking a fundamental chord in you that somehow you're drawn to, you might have trouble identifying the actual reasons why you're so drawn. Much like I said, a moth is drawn to a flame. It's a disastrous outcome, but it's something they can't resist. I think when you're attracted to a symbol, it might be hard to actually verbalize and rationalize in your own mind what it is exactly that attracts you, and so you reach. And you know, I think that presidents tend to take credit for and tend to get blamed for all of the economic circumstances that occur during their term in office. And I think that in Biden's case, if you take everything in balance, the number of jobs that have been created, the real income increase that's occurred, the growth in the stock market, the growth in the economy, the rate of growth in the economy, if you take all those things and then put them in context and put the inflation that was experienced in context, in a world context, if you put it all together, I think that Joe Biden wins that argument. But if you're not for Joe Biden to start with, you can pick and choose in the basket of issues there, the things that you want to identify as problems.
You know, Sandy, when I and before we go to the phone lines, you know, I always measure what's happening with the president and the time that they're in office with a president named Jimmy Carter. And the fact that Jimmy Carter was president during the oil embargo, the fact that Jimmy Carter was president when the prime rate.
Yeah, I think for me, Jimmy Carter, the prime rate fly up because he decided that he was going to let Paul Vogel solve inflation and liberated the Federal Reserve Bank from political pressure, and the Iranian breakdown, the blow up of the Iranian government and the hostages were two of the primary things. But he during his presidency, there was rapid inflation, and he gave Paul
Volcker
the right capacity to do what was necessary, which was to move the interest rates up even higher to kill off inflation.
You know, and so at the root of those things, and I just don't think the American people think that deeply in its popularity. And so Donald Trump is popular to some people because they still remember him from The Apprentice. I don't know. I've never seen one episode of The Apprentice, so I don't know what they're talking about. Let's go to Tom from LA. Hey, good morning to you, Tom. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Well, someone like Samuel L. Jackson would say, wake the F up, Americans.
Yeah.
I mean, first off, you got people that keep on trying to go on all these radio shows saying, oh, black people and Latino people, they're all switching over to Donald Trump. You have a guy that has been in a courtroom. You have someone that's a convicted, you want to call it sexual assault, I'm going to call it a rapist. You're going to compare the two people. You're going to compare, seriously, you want to get down to brass tacks? Do you like the fact that billionaires, do you think the economy works better when billionaires get the bigger tax cut and we have a wealth in disparity? Or do you believe that investing in infrastructure and investing in America actually brings you back a return on investment? And I would say to all of you small mom and pop business owners out there, you know what? These billionaires work less hard than you. They collect dividends on the while they're sitting on the pool. That's what they do. You work harder than they do. And you have to, you go and defend these people? You don't defend someone like Joe Biden, who is a person that has actually worked for years and years for the middle class? You're going to go with someone like a Donald Trump that just gives Mar-a-Lago and filthy richness and, I mean, doesn't even, you look at a Super Bowl years ago and he's like making fun of the American national anthem. You people are sick. I'm sorry. You guys I've gotten to the point where I'm done with you people. And I hope for all you people out there that aren't in that toxic way, actually care about your future and your kids and your grandkids. And I hope you realize that, you know what, Joe Biden is investing in America for the future, not going and selling us out to the highest bidder to someone like Saudi Arabia or Russia or Erdogan.
So,
or for that fact, Benjamin Netanyahu.
So Tom, yes. Thank you very much for those poignant words.
Well, Tom, you know, Tom is someone who's obviously repelled by the symbol that we're talking about. And I think that's what's happened. We've got a symbol, a person who is symbolic. And some people are repelled by it, and some people are highly attracted to it. And the question in my mind is, what are the people who are attracted to it seeing within the symbol? What is it that attracts them? And that's something I don't understand because I'm not one of them. So it's something I have to try and project.
So this is an article in today's USA Today. I think that's important. It's telling. I'm going to read a couple paragraphs of it quickly because I think it needs to be heard. Biden's poll numbers are awful. America, brace for a Trump victory in November. The hard reality is that the southern and western swing states won by the president in 2020 are drifting further into the former president's column. Chatting with a relative last weekend, I felt a twinge of optimism about the presidential campaign. Don't worry, it was fleeting. The relative in question voted for Donald Trump twice. How many people in this listening audience have had this same conversation with their relatives? The relative in question voted for Donald Trump twice, but her politics are anti-left, not MAGA. She worries about crime and inflation, as most of us do. She resents Joe Biden for not caring about the border. She loathes the pro-Hamas campus protesters, but she was alarmed by what she heard on Saturday night. She had Fox News on in the background, and as the network carried Trump's latest rally live from New Jersey, and from the first time in years, she got to hear him speak at length, unfiltered. He was ranting and raving, she complained, taken aback. Yes. Well, yes, I said. That's the sort of thing, but he really was in rare form that evening. And his thing is darker now than it ever was before. It's strange to think of Republicans a Republican voter being surprised by Trump's demagoguery, as it has been the essence of the man and his movement for almost a decade. But he has gotten worse over time and angrier, obsessively vengeful, more blatantly authoritarian, and lately prone to praising fictional serial killer Hannibal Lecter for God knows what reason. For a casual voter who hasn't paid him much attention since early 2021, a long look at the former president in retribution mode is a bit of a revelation. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true.
In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You could text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with Sandy Williams. And Sandy, the music selection today.
That was Elvis Presley bringing us Grace. Amazing Grace. It's I have personal reasons for liking the name of the song. My sister and mother were both named Grace. But I think the country and all of us need a greater dose of grace.
So, you know, Sandy, I was reading a little bit from this article before, you know, we had that short break, and I think it's such an interesting article. I'm going to read a couple more paragraphs, and then we can, and because I think it points out why people and their family members and their loved ones who they have these conversations with, as Doc earlier said, he's got friends on both sides of this, and so it's hard to have these conversations because you just trying to figure out, you know why people think the way they do. And so for a moment, I felt optimistic. Millions of other casual voters will be having the same revelation this summer as they tune into the campaign. Trump being Trump, he probably won't even feign normalcy during his acceptance speech at the GOP convention. The next 6 months will be a sustained advertisement by the Republican Party that its nominee is less fit for office than ever before. Then it occurred to me that my favorite relative is almost certainly going to vote for Trump anyway. And if she's willing to put aside her horror at the mental decompensation in the name of ousting Biden, many other horrified casual voters are destined to do so as well.
See, that's my point. I think that Biden symbolizes something to people. For some people, it's positive. For some people, it's negative. And the same is true for Trump. He symbolizes something that is inherently attractive to some people, whether it's subliminal or something that's clear cut in their mind. And he is also repulsive to some in the same way. So I think what's important is for people to examine the symbolism and to try and figure out what it is embedded in that symbolism that they're attracted to or that they're repelled by.
Well, they're going to have to figure it out soon.
Well, yeah, I think one of the problems with symbolism is that it's subconscious, okay? It's embedded. It's not necessarily something we understand. I think it's one of the reasons why people get defensive when they're pressed about why it is they favor some one of the candidates, because they might not understand it clearly themselves, but they know it's an emotional attachment and not necessarily, and I don't mean emotionally attracted to the individual. They're emotionally attracted to the symbol, okay? Because the individuals might not necessarily be attractive even to the people who are voting for them.
You know, I'm really amazed at my next caller, Mary from Wauwatosa. She generally doesn't get involved in politics at all.
Uh-huh.
but here she is on the phone. Good morning to you, Mary. How you doing? I can't believe you're calling in on this subject. Gosh.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. The symbols are important, and the symbol that I'd like, that I hope people will start taking notice of, is that of climate change and global warming, you know, and the threat that it, you know, poses to we here on Earth, you know, encroaching world hunger, destruction of the planet through these extreme weather events. If people take a look at the coverage of water on the planet, 71% of the planet is covered in water, and only 3% of that is fresh water, you know, through glaciers and then underground and, you know, our dear Great Lakes. So I'm hoping that, you know, this symbol is going to become recognized by people and, you know, people be able to take action within their ability.
So Mary, let me ask you, because what you just stated clearly is more important than all the rest of that foolishness that people are being fed with. And so they're not getting the information about what you just talked about. You turn on the nightly news, they're not talking about what you just talked about. They're talking about these other things, and that's what people, Sandy, are being, you know, inculcated with.
Well, I kind of think that people at this point have adopted an attraction to a symbol and have stopped listening to the facts, you know, and at least I worry about that. And I guess if I was hoping to excite with this conversation of people, self-exploration by people about what it is that they're attracted to and the symbolically about the candidate they're attracted to, or what it is that they're repelled by in the symbolism that they of the candidate that they don't prefer.
I think, Sandy, that and before we go to the phone lines, I think that people are embarrassed. Some people are embarrassed by the fact that there's somebody that they're supporting, and they don't want people to know that they're supporting this person. And so if...
Well, I think one of the ways you overcome that is to decide that the other candidate is so terrible that your version of terrible is the lesser of two options. And I do hear a lot of people talking like that right now about the campaign. I'm going to vote for this guy because I can't possibly vote for that guy, okay? And I think at that point, these people are embedded in symbolism, possibly, rather than facts.
You know, Sandy, I would say to people, I don't have any problem. You know, I'm voting for Joe Biden, and I voted for Joe Biden before. No way could I vote for Donald Trump under any circumstances. And I can say that publicly. But I know people who are going to be supporting Trump who may not, he won't even say that outwardly. And that's where I think it's an issue for me. You should be able to, from the top of the mountain, say, this is the person I'm supporting, and these are the reasons why I'm supporting them. Shouldn't you?
Well, I think so. I think Trump has made it particularly hard because he hasn't really talked about anything very specific for someone to point at other than to talk negatively about the option.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. Our phone lines are open. On the other side, we'll continue the conversation. It's Tuesday. It means Tuesday with my co-host Sandy Williams and I.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, my guests are Civic Media's Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show, and producer John Davies. Join me for part two of our interview from last week.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.